Beyond is sponsored by the Malone Society, the permanent utility of original texts. Go to malonesociety.com for more information. Hello and welcome to the Beyond podcast and this archive recording of Gentleness and Nobility by John Heywood with John Rastall. This Henrician drama was recorded live on stage as part of our Entertaining Henry season at the Key Theatre Sudbury on Saturday the 21st of June 2025. It isn't designed for the podcast, it is an archive feed recorded at a distance, so it doesn't have the same clarity as our other releases. But, though a bit roomy, it is a relatively clear recording of the play as performed live, and complements our previously released work on all of John Heywood's plays, and our wider look at Tudor interludes. A host of useful links are in the show description. So much discussion with Professor Greg Walker, for example, including our exclusive behind-the-scenes material of rehearsals and video feeds, which can be found on our Patreon. This is a cut-down version of the play where we reimagined it as a live podcast interrupted by a man with a gun, which ups the stakes somewhat from the original. That staging setup is not perhaps clear from this recording, but hopefully the flow of the action will still work for you. But for now, we present Gentleness and Nobility by John Heywood. With Valentina Vinci as the knight, Liza Graham as the merchant, and Robert Crichton as the ploughman. Gentleness and Nobility. Recorded live.
What a great wealth and prosperity it is to any realm where merchants be, having free liberty and intercourse also. All merchandise to convey to and fro, which thing I have used at the very feet found, and thereby got many a £1,000. Wherefore now, because of my great riches throughout this land and every place, doubtless I am magnified and highly regarded, and for a wise and noble man esteemed.
Master merchant, I hear you right well, but now in presumption me think ye excel to call yourself noble in presence here. I wish men knew what your ancestors were, and of what great stock descended ye be. Your father was but a blacksmith, Purdy.
Why, sir, what then? What be you, I pray you?
Murray, I am a gentleman, would you know. I made to spend yearly 500 mark land. Mm. And I am sure all that ye have in hand of yearly rent is not worth 5 marks.
But I would thou knewest it for all thy carks. I am able to buy now all the land that thou hast and pay for it out of hand, which I have got by mine own labour and wit, and that which thou hast thine ancestors left it.
Yet art thou but a churl, and I have scorn. Thou shouldest compare with me, a gentleman born.
Why, what callest thou a gentleman?
Tell me. I call them gentlemen that be born to great lands by inheritance, as mine ancestors by continuance have had these 500 years, of whom now I am descended and come lineally, bearing the same name and arms also that they did bear these 500 years ago. Mine ancestors also have ever been lords, knights, and in great authority, captains in the war, and governors, and also in time of peace, great rulers. Mm. And thine were never but artificers, as smiths, or masons, or carpenters, or weavers.
All that is truth. I will not deny now, yet am I more gentleman than thou. For I call him a gentleman that gently doth give unto other men lovingly such thing as he hath of his own proper. But he that taketh aught away from another and doth give him nothing again, therefore, ought to be called a churl evermore. Mine ancestors have given alway to thine ancestors such thing as they by their labors did truly get and win.
What?
For mine ancestors builded houses wherein thine ancestors have had their dwelling place.
Oh,
also, mine ancestors have made tools to all men and crafty men belonging, whereby clothes and every other thing whereof thine ancestors need have had, with the same tools have ever been made. So mine ancestors have given their labors ever to comfort and help thine ancestors.
I deny that ever the ancestors of thine did ever give to the ancestors of mine at any time anything, except that they gave somewhat therefore either ware or money.
Marry God a mercy, John, for that now that is even a pig of our own sow. How can lords and estates have aught in store except the artificers do get it before? For all metals must be by miners first digged and after wrought by the artificers. Wool, fell, and every other thing that is necessary to man's covering, and all other things that men use and wear, is always made by the artificer.
Well, I grant that the artificers do make it, but because commonly they have little wit. Gentlemen that have lands and dominion, of all such riches have most possession. For reason will ever choose to be wise men to have fools in captivity.
What? Oh, marry, as for wit and subtle invention, mine ancestors with thine may make comparison.
Oh.
For though my father were a smith, what then? Yet was he a marvelous, quick-witted man, and could work as well for his part as any in this land using that art, and devise new fashions in things that he made, that every man to buy his ware was glad. My grandfather also was a mason of great wit as any in this region, and could build a castle and tower right well, in which some of thy kinsmen now do dwell. My great-grandfather, though, was a weaver of woolen yarn and other gear, and all such subtle things as I have rehearsed, lo, mine ancestors by their wits could work and do. And as for thine ancestors, I know no thing they could do by their wits worth praising, but use, occupy, and waste evermore such things as mine ancestors made before. Thine ancestors may never compare with mine, for their acts prove them wiser than thine, for thine did never nothing in their days concerning quick wit that was worthy praise.
Oh, yes, I wish. Lewd Javel, I would thou knowest it.
Javel.
Mine ancestors have had more wisdom and wit than thine have had, and could do also many things that thine could never do. For in the country, as sessions and size, they have been elect to be justice. And for their wit and great discretion, they have judged and done correction upon thine ancestors, artificers that have made false wares and been deceivers, and helped for to maintain everything that is to the commonwealth pertaining. They have also been in time of war, both in this land and other countries far, dukes and leaders of the whole army, and by their wits and warlike policy, study, forecast, and diligent trouble have won many a great field and battle. And thine ancestors that were there were never able to bear shield nor spear, and were never but soldiers and pioneers, but because mine ancestors have ever been discreet and wise, they have had authority.
Nay, nay, thine ancestors came never all to authority for wisdom principle, but for some were wise, but some of them again had small discretion, little wit or brain. But because of the long continuance of their great possessions, by inheritance, by the foolish manner of the world, we see, for that cause they have ever had authority.
And I say that good reason agreeth to it. For though the father hath no great wit, the son that is wise should never the more lose his land or authority therefore. For he that by study, diligence, and pain great lands or possessions doth attain, his own life is too short and too light for to take the fruit of his merit. Reason would therefore that after his life his heirs before strangers have prerogate use. And the continuance of such possessions maketh noble men and gentle conditions. And they whose blood hath long continued as gentlemen, so they should be honored. And so mine ancestors long time have been great possessioners and in authority. Therefore, considering my great lineage, my blood, my noble birth and parentage, thou art not able to compare with me, neither in gentleness nor in nobility.
I hear his bibble babble, clear, clear. I never never heard so foolish a man by my God's body to speak the truth. I'm better than either of you both.
Avon conquered churl, from whence camest thou?
Marry, foolish peevish, or even from my plough. How sayest, wouldst thou anything therewithal?
Yeah, marry, thou lewd villain and rude rascal. It is for the fool that ye'll be seeming to perturb any gentleman's talking.
Gentlemen, ye gentleman Jack Herring, put your shoon in your bosom for wearing. I accom myself by God's body, security. Better than you both, and more worthy.
Avon, Nick!
That shall I prove I ain't gone about, never in better time. How about thee now?
Now hold thy hand, fellow, I thee pray, and hearken what I shall to thee say.
Say, nay, say, what can say?
Hold thy hand, I pray thee, I come no nearer. I am a merchant and no man of war.
Thou art not honest, I tell thee plainly, to make any quarrel here so suddenly to perturb our communication.
Oh, here you may see, sirs, by God's vestures. Two proud fools make a cracking, and when it cometh to the point, dare do nothing.
Our coming hither and our intent is not to fight, but by way of argument. Every man to show his opinion, to see who could show the most reason to prove himself noble and most gentleman.
Oh, by God, all the reasons since he began that he have made thereof be not worth a fly.
No, sir. I pray thee, tell me why.
First, as touching nobleness, I say, there is neither of you both to prove or lay any of your acts thereby that ye should in reason prove you noble to be, for or thereby deserve any manner praising. But all the effect of your arguing to prove your nobleness was but only the deeds and acts of your ancestry and all the acts that your ancestors did before. Ye are the nobler nevertheless.
Myself, I dare make comparison of as noble deeds as he hath any done, for I am and have been one of the chivalry, at the commandment of a prince ever ready, and every time of war have been captain of and leader of 1,000 men or twain, and with horse and harness, a spear and shield, have jeoparded my body in every field, and rents of my lands have spent liberally, and kept a great house continuously, and help to punish thieves and bribers always, to the greater tranquility of the country. And you, master merchant, will never take labour, except it be for your own profit and...
Go to now, master merchant. There is a reason to give you a taunt. I trow more than you can answer well.
Nay, I was peevish, rude, Jack Javel. I can make an answer so substantially, whereto neither of you is able to reply.
But if thou canst answer my answer, reason to,
that can I well do.
Then go to, fool, go to.
I say, the common weal of every land in feet of merchandise doth principally stand. For if our commodities be uttered for naught into strange lands and no riches brought hither, therefore we should come to beggary, and all men driven to live in misery. Then we, noble merchants, that in this realm be, what a great wealth to this land do we. We utter our wares, and we buy their goods cheap, and bring them hither with great profit. Furthermore, ye see well with your eyes that of strange lands, the commodities, we have such need of them that be there, that in no wise we may them forbear, as oil, silks, fruits and spices, also gold, silver, iron, and other metals all drams and drugs longing to physic, which men must needs have when they be sick, which in this realm cannot well grow. Our country is too cold, and not hot enough, without which things we should live in misery, and oft times for lack of them, we should die. And I spend my study and labor continually and cause such things to come hither daily for the comfort of this land and commonwealth, and to all the people great profit and health, and for such noble deeds reason will then that I ought to be called a noble man, and neither of you both that here now be in nobleness may accompare with me.
Now, well hit by God's body. Well hit of one that had but little wit. Answer me one word first, I pray thee. What is the noblest thing that can be?
What sayest thou there to thyself?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Ah, well, is not that the noblest thing that of all other thing hath least need? As God, which reigneth eternally in bliss, is not he the noblest thing that is?
Yes, Mary, no many reason can that deny.
Well, there is no reason that will why, but because he is the thing omnipotent, and is in himself so sufficient, and needeth the help of no other thing, to the help of his glorious being, but every other thing hath need of his aid.
Oh, Mary, that is very true and very well said.
And likewise, that thing that hath most need is the thing that is most wretched. So sufficiency is ever nobleness, and necessity is ever wretchedness. And he that hath more need of that thing for the preservation of his living than his fellow hath, his fellow must needs be, by the same reason, more noble than he.
What then?
Well, by the same reason it proveth low, ye be but caitiffs and wretches both tow. By the same reason prove I shall that I am the noblest man of us all. For I have no manner need of no manner thing that ye can do to help of my living, for everything whereby ye do live, I nourish it, and to you both do give. I plough, I till, and I stir the ground, whereby I make the corn to abound, whereof there is made both drink and bread, with the which daily ye must needs be fed. I nourish the cattle, and fowls also, fish and herbs and other things mow, fell, hair and wool, which the beasts do bear, I nourish and preserve, which ye do wear, which if ye had not, no doubt ye should starve for lack of clothes because of cold. So both of you should die or live in necessity if ye had not comfort and help of me. Therefore, Master Merchant, now to you I say, I cannot see but am able and may live without you or your purveyance, for of food and clothes I have sufficiency of myself for living necessary. And now, Sir Knight, to you I say plainly, I see not that ye can anything do or may for the common weal or aught longing thereto. But each man, being an authority, having wit, may do it as well as ye. Therefore, to speak now of necessity, there is neither of you both, but ye be in more need than I. Therefore, I say plain, I am more noble than either of you twain.
Now, that is a foolish reason, so God me save. For by the same reason, thou wouldst have every beast, fish, and other fowl than to be more noble of birth than a man. For man hath more need of bodily covering than they have, for they need nothing. The beasts have their hair, and also a thick skin. The fish, scales or shells to keep their bodies in. The fowls, feathers, and so everything by nature has his proper covering, save man himself, which is born all naked. Therefore, he should be then most wretched.
Marry, no man can make a better reason, for that is a short and true conclusion. For if a child, when he is first born, were not holped and covered, he was soon lorn. He hath no strength to help, never tell. Yet beasts have power to help themselves well. So considering man's body indeed, a beast is more noble, man more wretched.
That is a very good and pregnant reason.
Yet methinketh thou makest a digression from the argument that we first begun, which was to prove who was the most gentleman,
which we disputed. I would thou hadst heard it.
Tush! I heard what you said, every wit. good nor substantial. Thy foolish and peevish opinion was because of the great dominion of the lands and rents whereto thou wast born, which thine ancestors had long time before. Thou thinkest thyself a gentleman to be. That is a foolish reason, seeing it me. But when Adam dove and Eve span, who was then a gentleman? But then came the churl and gathered good, and there began the first gentle blood. And I think, verily, ye do believe that we came all of Adam and Eve. Then, to speak by reason, great possessions make no gentlemen, but gentle conditions. That is the cause and best reason why one should be called a gentleman, true like. And furthermore, but well, please reason that. If a man's ancestors have been gentlemen and virtuous and good to commonweal, that ought to be reported, never a deal, to the praise of the child, which doth refuse such good conditions and the contrary use, but he ought to be dispraised the more, because his ancestors have shown him before a precedent of gentleness and virtue, which, good example, he doth not ensue, for the gentleness of his blood clearly in him doth decay and utterly die, so that he useth conditions virtuous, though his ancestors were vicious, ought not to be dispraised therefore, but ought to be honoured and praised the more, eh?
Yet methinketh more honour should be given to him which is of noble blood and kin.
If that would look honoured to be, because of thy blood, then mark well and see. The vilest beggar that goeth by the door, had ye not both one God and Creator? Ye came of one first stock and progeny, both Adam and Eve, you will not deny. The beggar and thou were both doubtless conceived and born in filth and uncleanness. Thy blood and the beggar's of one colour be. Thou art as apt to take sickness as he. If thou be in the body wounded, thy flesh is as ill as his to be healed. Alas, I've known many ere this so proud of their birth that all their lives would give them to no labour nor learning, which brought them to miserable ending, that in poverty wretchedly did die, were fallen to theft and hanged therefore full high. So I say, virtue and good conditions, then, is that which maketh the very gentleman. And though the father may bequeath to his son his riches, his land and his possession, yet he neither give nor bequeath unto him in no wise after his death his virtue, nor his gentle conditions. No, they cannot descend as other possessions. And if thou wilt be a gentleman needs, thou must then use virtue and gentle deeds.
Why desire men then praise evermore of the acts of their ancestors done before?
Well, one cause thereof is lack of learning.
What?
They perceive not the reason of the thing. Another is because there be many that call themselves gentlemen unworthy, which live voluptuously and bestial, and do no good in the world at all, but live in pride, sloth, and unthriftiness. And because they have no manner of goodness, nor property, nor virtue in them thereby, any man should think them any praiseworthy. Therefore, they seek for commendation of the acts that their ancestors have done.
Then I marvel. Men desire to be called of the blood of them that excelled in worldly honour, as kings and emperors, where some were tyrants, some were conquerors, and few desire to be called of their blood that were called just men, virtuous and good.
If I should tell thee the very cause true, well, it's because they love no such virtue, which virtue and gentle condition should be, longing to the gentleman of property.
If gentle condition be the cause, then will I compare with both you two,
For I have ever been of gentle manner, and so have mine ancestors that were before. For first of all, when this world began, long after, there were but few people then. Men had sufficient of everything, without great labour for food and clothing. All thing was in common then, doubtless. But afterward, when people did increase, each man to increase his pleasure and volupty, of good and lands desired property, whereof great strife and debate did arise. Then, such as mine ancestors were, that were wise, did study to make laws how the people might be living together in peace and unity, and against enemy always defended. The people that tilled the ground and labored, the people perceiving then their goodness, their great wit and discretion and gentleness, were content to give them part of the profit coming of the lands which they did get as corn, cattle, and such things as they won. But after, when that coin of money began, they changed those revenues and were content to give them in money an annual rent. So for the good and virtuous conditions, they came first to lands and possessions. So possessions began and were first found upon a good and reasonable ground.
By God's body, thou liest falsely. All possessions began first of tyranny. For when people began first to increase, some gave themselves all to idleness, and would not labour but take by violence that other men gat by labour and diligence. Then they that laboured were fain to give them part of their gettings in peace to live, or else for their lands money apportion. So possessions began by extortion. And when such extortioners had oppressed the labouring people, then they ordained and made laws marvellous, straight and hard, that their heirs might enjoy it afterward. So the law of inheritance was first begun, which is a thing against all good reason that any inheritance in the world should be.
That is a shameful opinion, seemeth me.
Yeah.
For when I have laboured and by great study got and purchased lands truly, it is good reason that I have liberty to give those lands to whom it liketh me, or else to let them descend lineally to my child or cousin of my blood for most nigh. For inheritance must needs be a good thing, because so much good thereof is proceeding. Every man to his blood such love doth bear. Because the land shall descend to his heir, he will build thereon on the land, and the land improve, and make corn and grass increase and grow, and amend the highways that be thereabout, and do many other good deeds, no doubt, for the profit of his heir that shall be, and for the commonwealth of his country, which things surely would never intend if the land should not to his heir descend.
By reason no other thing is meant, but a good deed upon an evil intent. But when men for love or pride do such good deeds, the devil therefore shall quit them their meeds.
Well, whether God or the devil quit them therefore, is now to our purpose never the more. For their minds and intents, men cannot tell. But touching inheritance, this I wot well, much good cometh thereof, and daily doth grow.
Nay, much ill cometh thereof, I should prove how. For these men that be of great possessions unto their blood have such affections, if any land like them that lieth nigh them of their poor neighbours, they will destroy them, or by extort means they will them compel the land for half the money worth to sell.
So?
And when they take money, they will always ever borrow, and they're willing to pay, and when they shall die, you shall see the experience. Few of them have remorse of conscience to make any manner of restitution of any land so wrongfully gotten.
Thou hast spoke so against gentlemen. But what sayest thou of merchants then?
Many? Be good.
Yeah.
And worshipful also.
Yeah.
Many charitable deeds they do. Build churches.
Yeah.
And mend the highways.
Definitely.
Make almshouses and help many to cass. But some be covetous and fool falsely get their goods by deceit and usury. And when they have £1,000 in their coffers, they will rather suffer their neighbours to starve for hunger and cold and die, ere they will give to help them a penny. And yet, moreover, when any of them be promoted to rule or authority, they disdain all learning, law, and reason, and judge all by wit and affection.
Thou art but a railer to speak so sore against gentlemen and merchants evermore.
Yes.
Be not ploughmen and others that drive the cart, and such rustical fellows as thou art, false shrews, and live as viciously also as gentlemen of lands and merchants do?
Yes, these villain carters, almost each one, have neither conscience nor devotion, for bribe and steal everything they will, if they may secretly come thereunto.
Yet, gentlemen, and the rich merchants that be, use much more vice than iniquity.
Why, thinkest all merchants and gentlemen not?
Nay, say not so, that is not my thought. Yeah, I'm not so foolish or so mad, for I know that many, many good, though some be bad, and some of them so proud be of their blood, and use small virtue and do little good, but give all their minds and their study to oppress the poor by tyranny. Some of them think this for a surety is the most honour to them that can be, for to be able to do extortion and to maintain it without punction.
By God, sweet body, thou art a stark knave, nobleman and gentleman sought to deprave.
What, thou proud whoreson fool? Whom dost thou knave?
I identify!
What wilt thou wage battle by and by now? That shall I prove straight, I make God avow.
Keep the peace, masters, hold your hands for shame. To make this business, ye be greatly to blame.
By God's body, but not for worldly shame. I should cut my flesh, or I'll see thy heart's blood.
Sir, hold your tongue, your words be nothing good. We lose here with this lewd altercation. Much good pastime and recreation.
Why, what better pastime canst thou have here than to hear one call another knave? See, such a proud fool walked with a whip.
But I love it not. Therefore, of fellowship, leave this brabbling, and with good argument, try the matter that is most convenient.
Nay, I will try it howsoever he will. Be it with words or deeds, I will answer him still. For by God, if he will be content to be concluded by good argument, I will conclude him one way ere that I go, or I shall prove it on his pate, that shall I do.
Thou speakest like a clerk that hath little wit. When a case is put to it, it cannot soil. Then he will vex and chafe his mind, and cast out some loose word of quarrelling, to turn the whole matter to chiding and fighting. And so dost thou now, like one that were mad.
No. I would thou knewest that, thou foolish lad, I am neither mad nor drunken yet. For mine opinion, I have well proved it, by substantial reason and argument, that inheritance is not convenient, and showed better reasons than thou canst do.
Nay, thy reasons may soon be answered unto. Gentlemen of lands undoubtedly bring up their children full honourably. Some put to the school to learn cunning, to instruct the people in virtuous living. Some made to be active in martial deeds, and able to defend the land when need is. And the rustical people that have no land, such thing be not able to take in hand. Wherefore, if we should destroy inheritance, we should destroy all good rule and ordinance.
But such men as have great rents and lands and low estate but turn them in their lives, and everything they are on will nourish and save for the great zeal and love that they only have to the commonwealth of their country. And for God's sake, look, these people they be that be worthy to have possessions. Such people of virtuous conditions, and no other should be chosen governors. And they should have lands
to maintain their honours, term of their lives, as long as they take pain for the Commonwealth. This is good reason plain, so that but no man ought to have any land but such as be apt and have charge in hand for the Commonwealth as princes, rulers, bishops, curates, preachers and teachers, judges, ministers and other officers, that of the Commonwealth be executors and valiant men of the chivalry that be bound to defend the people daily, such men as be apt to all such things should have lands to maintain their livings. So inheritance is not beseeming to let them have lands that can do no such thing. I think it not reasonable neither one man to live by labour of another, for each man is born to labour truly. As a bird is to fly naturally. Not a man nor ought not to have such liberty to leave lands to his child, whereby that he shall lust for to live in sloth and gluttony, compelled to do naught but live voluptuously.
Oh, there's always good remedy for that is to compel them to do somewhat, so that each man, having inheritance, having some authority and governance, wherein he should take pain and busyness, and constrain him to eschew idleness.
Then this great mischief should follow of it. Oft times they should rule that have little wit, or disposed to be proud and covetous, or to live after their lusts voluptuous. If such men had authority, many things no doubt misordered should be. Where justice should be, there would be tyranny. Where peace should be, war, debate and envy. So there is no good reason that I can see to prove that any inheritance should be.
By God's body, sirs, I hold you both mad. For ye dispute now whether inheritance be a reasonable thing or a good ordinance, which is a matter nothing pertaining to the question moved at the beginning. For the question was, which of us, all three, could prove himself most gentleman to be?
Well, as such in that, we have all spoken said, each man for his part as much as can be led.
Nay, I have reasons left whereby I can prove myself of us all most gentlemen, that neither of you can both can avoid by reason.
Thou have what else to say now, speak on.
Well then, to you both, answer me this short clause. Is not gentle conditions the most principal cause to make one to be a gentleman?
Peradventure it may be so. What then?
Peradventure, quotha! Nay, I shall prove that by examples many of. For music maketh one a musician. Grammar to be a good grammarian, and also geometry to a good geometrician, and churlish conditions a churl for to be. Huh? And so every other state and degree, and where gentle conditions be doubtless in any person, there is gentleness. Then as virtue maketh a good man, so gentle conditions a gentleman. Huh?
All these points, I think, must needs granted be. What arguest more thereof? Fourth, let us see.
How sayest then to pride, wrath and envy, eh?
They be naught and evil, I think, verily.
Well, what is meekness, patience and charity?
Everyone a gentle and good property.
What is covetous and liberality, eh?
The first good, the other naught for sure.
Well, what is gluttony, sloth and lechery, eh?
They be not all who can that deny.
What abstinence, good business and chastity, eh?
Virtues and gentle properties they be.
Well, since ye have granted this, I shall prove plain. I am a gentleman. So is none of you twain. First, for pride, your raiment showeth ye what ye be. For ye will never be content, except that ye have the finest cloth and silk for to wear of orient colours and all your gear. So costly your houses, gilt gloriously,
as though ye were therein yourself deified.
Ye covet every more goods, lands, and rent. Whatsoever ye get, you're never content. Wrathful ye be moved to anger and on, and envious, disdaining every man. And as for me, I'm content alway. With a poor cottage and simple array. I disdain no man, and yet patiently can suffer to be called knave and not angry. Oh, so sometime I call him a knave again. In haste. And when I've said my anger is past, where ye have your beds so pleasant and soft, wherein ye ease yourselves too long and too oft, and maketh your bodies so tender to be that ye cannot endure labour like me. No manner of coarse food ye be fed, but with pleasant wines and most whitest bread, with flesh and fish most delicate and fat, all fruits and spices that can be got. And when ye have had such pleasant refections to assuage your carnal insurrections.
Oh, thou liest, slanderous churl, for I think of troth thou usest such vice more than we both.
Oh, thou sayest true, drought is good enough for swan.
Yet thou answerest to no reason of mine.
Thy reasons all right well answer I can. For if I say it becometh a nobleman to have rich apparel and clothing and goodly houses of costly building, and that each man according to his degree be known from other of what they be. For if such costly things were not made work for poor people, then should fall that could never be had. For many folks then should fall to idleness, which is the mother of vice and wretchedness.
Yeah, but I delight no such vanities worldly. I delight neither in sloth nor gluttony. I delve and dig and labour for my living, never idle, but somewhat ever doing. Daily I run and go bare sweat and swink. I eat brown bread, drink small drink. Content with coarse meat, whatsoever it be, so it quench the hunger. It sufficeth me. These points I use, which I have rehearsed now, but be not these gentle conditions, I pray you.
If thou use them, need constraineth thee thereunto. For if thou couldst, hardly thou wouldst otherwise do.
What I would do, then ye cannot tell. It's not to the purpose, but this I wot well, since that I use my life in such good manner, with such gentle conditions expressed here, more than ye both do still continuing. And since that gentle conditions is the thing to make a gentleman, the coarse principle wherein I use my life, most of us all, who can by any reason deny than that I am of us all most gentleman?
Huh? In faith, if thou be a gentleman, therefore, thou art a gentleman against thy will, full sore. Mm. Since ye see he standeth in his own conceit so well, that opinion we shall never expel from him by no argument or reason. Therefore now, for a little season, let us depart from him. I hold it best, then we shall have of him some rest.
Contend nor argue never in the matter with him that is so full of word and clutter.
Wherefore, for a season, let us both depart.
I am agreed, I thereunto, with all mine heart.
Why, sirs, will ye then depart and be gone?
Yea, that we will. Farewell for a season, for to tarry no longer here, we see no great cause.
Then fare ye well, as wise as two doors. I pray God send you such grace, both twain, to be stark cuckolds ere ye come again. Oh. Now, masters, they be both gone away. Therefore, one word now, hark what I say. We see well now by plain experience when a man is setting a willful credence all to fortify
his own opinion. If God himself would then with him reason, in effect it shall no more avail than with a whip to drive forth a snail. Therefore, no remedy is that I can see for evil men that be in authority. But let them alone, till God will send a time till our governors may intend of all enormities the reformation, and bring in their hands the rod of correction, and the reforming of injuries themselves see, and will say precisely thus it shall be. For exhortations, teaching and preaching, jesting and railing, they mend no thing. For the amendment of the world is not in me, nor all the great arguments that we three have made, sith we have reasoned here together, do not prevail the weight of a feather.
Target acquired.
Or the helping of anything that is amiss. We cannot help it then, since it so is.
Take the shot.
Now, by my troth, I am glad I is gone.
So am I, my sweet St. John. And I heard not a churl this 7 years such cursed reasons as he has done here. For the maintenance of his opinion, yet he is deceived for all his reasons. And for it is necessary that rulers be to have possessions to maintain their degree, and those few to drive the multitude, all of the other people, to labor to fall. For if the rulers drove them not thereto, the people would be idle, would nothing do.
And the most reason is that governance should come to such rulers by inheritance, rather than to have them chose by election. Oftimes by dread, meed, and affection, men of evil conscience that the great tyrants be. Read old chronicles, the proof you shall see.
That reason is so great no man can debar. Nevertheless, that churlish knave, that carter, after his fond opinion, thinketh thus himself to be more gentleman than us.
Oh.
In Gentleness and Ability by John Hayward, The Knight was played by Valentina Vinci, The Merchant by Liza Graham, and The Ploughman by Robert Crichton. Backstage technical manager for the live show was Rule Fox. Gentleness and Nobility was recorded live at the Key Theatre in Sudbury and edited and produced by Robert Crichton for the Beyond podcast. To get more on this play and others from that season, then join our Patreon for more behind-the-scenes material and video footage. Our patrons fund all our work, and none of this could happen without their support. Go to patreon.com/beyondshakespeare, or you can give a one-off donation via ko-fi.com/beyondshakespeare. Links are in the show description. Beyond is sponsored by the Malone Society, the permanent utility of original texts. The Malone Society is dedicated to textual scholarship in late medieval and early modern drama. It publishes editions of early printed and manuscript texts of plays, plus collections of documentary material relating to the performance and reception of early drama, offers research fellowships, grants and prizes, and supports symposia and performances. For more details, visit malonesociety.com.